Once you think about it and you meditate on it, you keep meditating on it, then you're going to have it inside your heart. And that's what God wants us to do. He wanted to be in our heart. And when it's in our heart, he said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever comes out of our mouth is what we've placed in our heart. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to get it in our heart. And when we get it in our heart, saints of God, God can do the rest. You know, God can do the rest. Praise God, he can do it. We have to internalize that word. And I spoke to you a few minutes ago about internalizing the word. We just can't just take the word and in passing just look at it and, oh, that's a great word. I like that. I like what it says. No, we can't do that. And internalize, what that means is that we have to combine the word into our thinking until it becomes a part of the way we think and speak. You know, Paul says we have to allow the word to transform us. You know, that's we have to allow that word to transform us. And how can it transform us if we just passing through it and skimming through it? We have to stop and pause and read and think on it till it gets in our heart. We have to take the old man, which is sin, and we have to take it out, and we have to put in the new man, which is righteousness. You know, God rewards obedience. We have to realize that. The whole lesson today is about obedience. God rewards obedience. In Isaiah 1:19, he says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That's what he says. In Deuteronomy 11:26-27, it says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. A blessing if you obey. See, this is what you get. You get a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, our God, which commands you this day. You get a blessing if you obey what God says. In John 14:23, it says, Jesus said, if anyone keep the word of God, his Father, he will love him, and his Father will come to them, and we will make our abode with them. And that's when we obey, saints. It only can happen when we obey.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, the power of God in Christ. power of God in Christ. It is essential that the people of God understand this message for their own benefit, for them to understand what God has transferred into the hand of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who paid the ultimate price for our soul, and to help us understand that what he has done provides for us the victory in this life and the life to come. You know, a whole lot of believers don't understand the power that we are working with here. And a whole lot of us are waiting till we get to heaven to experience the fullness of God. But that's not what Jesus intended. He intended for us to know and to experience what he experienced here on planet Earth so that we could walk in authority, in power, in the fullness of the wisdom of God and the demonstration of his power. And so we need to know that we are not weaklings and wimps as it relates to the spiritual realm when we do what Christ tells us to do because of who we are in Christ. And so when we begin to look at this word, he says, and what exceeding. Now, first of all, that word exceeding helps us to understand that it goes beyond and further than the reality of what is said next. The exceedingness, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us toward who believe? Now let's pause there for a moment and deal with that. What is the great, the exceeding greatness of his power? This word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis suggests that it is inherent power. It is the power that God gives us, which also is permanent and is like a dynamo, from which we get the English word dynamite. It is explosive power on the inside of us that we must recognize God has placed there through Christ Jesus with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You remember in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus says, but ye shall receive power, the same word dunamis right here. He says, after you receive the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power after that ye have received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what's important. The dunamis power doesn't belong to church members. It belongs to believers in the church. I think I'll say that again. The dunamis inherent permanent power of God does not belong to church members. It belongs to believers in the church. And so what does that say? There is no reason why any believer filled with the Spirit of God should not be operating in the things of God, using the dunamis power on the inside of them to conquer every demon, every issue, every trial, every tribulation, every evil power that comes against them, because there is an inherent power. In other words, it's a dynamo. The more you use it, the stronger you become. And so we've got to stop being weak Christians and use the power that God has already placed on the inside. You won't have to cry as much.
if you used your dunamis. But you can't use your dunamis till you get your dunamis. And you got to be filled with the Spirit of God to have the dunamis. So a whole lot of church folk don't have the Spirit of God. They just have membership in a church. And they don't qualify to have the dunamis power on the inside of them. And so as a result of that, they always need somebody else to pray for them. They always need somebody else to stand in the gap for them. They always need somebody else to lean on. Don't get me wrong. We need all of that at some time because we're human. But the reality is when we learn how to work the dunamis that is on the inside of us, the more we use it, the stronger we become. And then what happens is we become so innate in that power that the devil chooses to pass us by more than he picks on us. Because he knows we are a formidable foe to the devil. He knows when he comes at us, he's got something he's got to deal with. And that's why his seasons are short in our lives. You remember when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And when he got through with Jesus, the Bible says he departed for a season. See, once he done tried you and you come through with flying colors, he said, let me leave them alone for now. I know there are some easier, weaker Christians that I can mess with. But again, remember now, this is for those who believe. Who believe. If you don't believe, you've got the power that God has given to you and you don't operate in it. Listen, let me give you a principle. That which is supernatural in its origin must be supernatural in its operation. That's why Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you've got this dunamis power, that's supernatural power. That's got to be operated in the Spirit. And when you have that, you've got power that the enemy recognizes is no little thing. And then he goes, he says, according to the working of his mighty power. Like, listen to this. The word mighty here comes from the word excuses. Excuses. It sounds like excuses, but it's excuses. And it literally means forceful power. All right. Might means forceful. All right. Now it is joined together with this other word power. Now let me throw this out parenthetically. When the King James Bible or the King James Version of the Bible was written, at that time there were no fewer than 12,000 Hebrew and Greek words. But in English there were only 6,000 English words. The challenge of the translators was to compile 12,000 words in the 6,000 words without losing the meaning, or at least coming as close to the meaning as they could, which meant oftentimes they'd use the same word but with multiple meaning. Here is one indication of that right here in the word that we're studying. The first word, power, P-O-W-E-R, is dunamis, and I've explained that to you. But the second word, power, comes from the Greek word. In English, we call it kratos. Kratos. But in the Greek, it's pronounced kratos. Kratos. Now, what does that mean? This means divine action or divine demonstration of God's mighty or forceful power. Now, this kind of power is limited to God's power. In other words, when God works a miracle, and the greatest miracle that he has worked was in raising Christ from the dead, which verse 20 goes on to explain. which he wrought in Christ. When? When he raised him, what? From the dead. Listen, but he didn't just raise him from the dead. What does the rest of the verse go on to say? And set him on his own right hand. Listen, in the heavenly places. So that supernatural demonstration of his action and his power and the forcefulness of his power says that there was no other power who could stop him from doing what he did. Now, what does that say to the believer? The same resurrection power that he demonstrated in Jesus Christ, he has reserved for the believer to operate in and to be able to do great exploits through and far. In other words, when you begin to recognize that the power of God that's been placed in Jesus is greater than any other power that this world would ever know or this world could ever compete with God, you will then start looking at the devil like, devil, if you knew who I was, you'd watch yourself. Because your days are numbered. You then begin to realize that there are some things the devil's been messing with you on that you now recognize what power you have at your disposal that you're able to come at the devil with. Instead of running from him, you run to him and say, enough is enough. And listen, you've got to go through the trials. You've got to grow through the tests. But one of the things that you have the confidence in knowing is you're coming through as a winner and as a victor. And so there are some things about the text that I think is important for us, because when we begin to look at this, we need to recognize that power that was demonstrated in the Kratos, in that second power, of the Kratos, is the power of God to demonstrate, to show, to put on exhibition. Didn't stop with raising Jesus from the dead, and it didn't stop with putting him on the right hand of his authority, not making him a vice power, but a co-power. The right hand of any authority suggests that it is a place of honor, of privilege, and of power, and more especially of favor. That is the place that we must recognize. God did two things. He raised Jesus from the dead. But then secondly, he raised Jesus in position. Did you hear what I just said? He didn't just raise him from the dead to raise him from the dead. He raised him from the dead to promote him. And when he promoted him, he made him co-God with the authority, listen, that he transferred over to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had proven his faithfulness. Jesus had done what the Father asked of him, and the Father was proud of him, and God elevated him to the highest seat in his kingdom on his right hand. And when he did that, he didn't just give him a position with no power. He also did not give him a title with no truth. You know, we got a whole lot of folks seeking titles and seeking power. All you got to do is please God. And when you learn to please God, God will do the promoting and God will give you titles if you need to have them. But you need to recognize that coming with those things, God blesses you with those things that are more than the position and the title. Because the next verse says, listen, in 21, that he raised Jesus from the dead in verse 20. He called him up to heaven, gave him the right hand and placed him in the seat next to him. And then the Bible says he put him far above principalities. All principalities. And the conjunction there suggests that it's all power. And again, all might. And again, all dominion. But let me pull out this third power right quick, and then I'll walk back through some of it. The third power here comes from the Greek word exousia or exousia. But exousia is the more preferred pronunciation. Now, what does that mean? That means divine authority or authority divinely given. All right? So this exousia power and the kratos power and the dunamis power, all from the same word with different meanings, all wrapped up in us as we are wrapped up in Christ Jesus, who is wrapped up in God, have access to all of that power. So if you have access to all that power, the question is, why then are we still living defeated lives? You see, Paul was privy to that. You got to remember, Paul was infirmed and Paul was afflicted. But Paul wrote, they say, up to 14 books in the New Testament. And you've got to recognize that Paul used what he had, not in himself, but in those powers that were available to him. His anointing came because of his obedience to Christ and the powers that Christ made available for him to operate in. Paul never could have done what he did as a healthy man if he did not have those powers available to us. And that's why Paul is trying to tell the church the same thing. We're living as weaklings and wimps in the power of supernatural reality, when we ought to be, listen, not letting the world change us, but us changing the world. We ought to have the effect everywhere we go. He said, we're salt, right? Salt that has not lost its savor affects everything it goes on. I wish I had a helper in the house. And when you are salt, listen at this, you don't have to tell folk you're salt. The moment you are applied to any situation, they're going to taste the difference. You just be who you are, and you're automatically going to affect folks. You ain't got to try to let your light shine. You just let it shine, and every dark place you come in will be lit up. In other words, you be who the Lord has called you to be, and out of being that, everything God wants you to do will be affected by that. Now let's back up to those four words. The first one, when he talks about far above all principality, this is important, brothers and sisters, because when we begin to look at principalities, which literally means the beginning or the origin of power, people, and governments, God has placed Jesus far above all principality, all powers, all people, all government. But now, if he has done that, then that means that there is no power, there is no people, there is no government that supersedes Jesus. The power that God has placed in him. Listen at this. And then when you look at, again, the word power, the divine authority that God has given to Jesus, it is important to recognize that there is no spiritual power that can even compete with him. So that means this: if you are in Jesus and you have a problem, all you need do is tell Jesus about it, and he will give to you the authority to deal with it rather than it dealing with you. Because he is far above all authority. So that means when the devil starts messing with you, he only messes with you because you've not authorized him to stop. He's going to let you do like any man will do. Go as far as you allow him to. Have I got a witness in the house? And you got to know that when you say no, you mean no. No more, Satan. Tired of you messing with me, my family, my finances, my this, my that. Whatever it is, you got the authority through Jesus Christ to authorize the devil to cease his operation. And then it says, and might. Now this Greek word actually, again, has to do with the word that means strength. It has power and it has a force included in it. But the idea is more about the strength, all right? Because you had might and power in verse 19. But now in 21, you got power and might. Now, let me help you understand that. Because the word is more geared toward strength and or length of power. Have you ever been in a house in a storm and the storm blew the power out? Now, everything was functioning and operating when the power was on. So you had power, right? But had you ever been in a house that had a whole house generator when the city's power got cut off? Within seconds, the generator kicked on and continued filling the house with the power to operate everything in the house, just like it did when the city power was on. So you got power from the city, but you've got strength from the generator. Sustaining power. In other words, you need to know you need strength and power, and then you need power and strength. In other words, they're a tag team partnership that helps you to understand that if there's ever a temporary cutoff of your power, you got some strength that will kick in before the devil can do any harm. That generator kicks in before any food can spoil. It kicks in before any problem can occur. Y'all not talking to me today. And Jesus is far above the might. And then
the last word is dominion. And that comes from the Greek word koreote. Koreote. And that means power, dominion.